Hallelujah. You may be seated. So good to see you this afternoon. It's been rich, hadn't it? You know, these have been powerful. What's this, the third year that we've done this, Pastor Jack? And they've been powerful, but this one I just had a sense is going to be extra special. I've just been particularly excited about this one. Of course, I love what Pastor Jack is having us minister. It's my favorite thing to talk about. And, you know, it's our desire to see each and every person to come into the call on their life. We want to see you fulfill destiny. And there's only one way to do it, and that's God's way. There is no other way. Amen? And we want to know how to get there. He says to, through faith and patience, no, follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. So we're just here to tell you what we've done, how we've done it. What we've done and how we've done it is how God has told us to do it. We've found it in the Word. Our pastor has taught us. Therefore, what we're sharing is going to overlap. Amen. As you've seen that. But then there's just some things that we've got an assignment, and I'm about to fulfill mine this afternoon. Let me find my notes here. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. There's a couple passages especially that have held me where fulfilling the call of God on my life is concerned. And one, and we won't go there today, but is Psalms 119 verses 2 and 3. And in Psalms 119 verses 2 and 3, it says that if we keep his testimonies and seek him with our whole heart, we'll do no iniquity and we'll walk in all of his ways. And the time that he gave me that is we were on Palumbo Drive. And every morning I'd get up and, you know, I'd go to intercessory prayer. But one of the things I'd keep saying to God, God, I want to be smack dab in the middle of your will. I don't want to miss it. And he took me right to that. And he says, if you will stay in my word, be a hearer and doer of the word. And he says, if you will have that relationship with me and keep that relationship fresh, he says, you'll do no iniquity and you'll walk in my ways. That didn't mean that I wouldn't make a mistake from time to time. But as long as I was never going to leave the place of the word, as long as I was never going to walk away from that relationship, the correction will get made and I will be right on track and I'll fulfill destiny, right? And this is similar in what it says here in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God, hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're going to see out of this afternoon is for you to fulfill your destiny, you're going to need to know whose you are. You're going to need to know what's the purpose that you've been called to. And you're going to need to know how to get there. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I may share some testimonies along the way, but I want to get this word across to you. First of all, you must identify whose you are. And he says here that you have been chosen, let me set my eyes on that, hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That word chosen means to take for oneself, to prefer, to choose, to elect to an office. And you need to understand that you've been chosen by God. Amen? Say, I'm chosen. God has chose you for himself. He has picked you out for himself. You belong to him. Now hold your place here and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Glory. Say, I belong to God. Say, I am not my own. Here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, and set your eyes on verse 19, it says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've been bought with a price. That is what has set your value. The price that has been paid for you, that precious blood of Jesus, is what has valued you. And you understand you and the call on your life is very valuable to the kingdom of God. Amen? Now look with me at Luke chapter 6. And verse 46, he says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Say, which I say. Whoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them not, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And when we understand that we belong to God, that we're not our own, we've been bought with a price, then hopefully we come to that place and we say, all right, he's Lord. We're making him Lord over our life. It is impossible to fulfill the call of God on our lives without him indeed being Lord over our lives. Amen? Now, I believe this has already been said today, but I want to say it again. Every one of you have a call on your life. May not all be called to fivefold, but you have a very important part to play in revival. First of all, let me just say that. Every one of you are called to revival. Every one of you are called to kingdom living. Every one of you are called to a church. Every one of you are called to be a part of something that's very, very big. Amen? And to fulfill what God has called you to, he's got to be Lord. And if he's going to be Lord, then we will do what he says. And we're going to find that there are four ways that God will speak to you, and he's going to speak to you in all four ways. He's going to speak to you through his word. He's going to speak to you through the still small voice. He's going to speak to you through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to speak to you through your pastor. And you must have this active in your life. You must be, how do I want to say it? You're going to be yielded to the voice of God in your life. He says that his word is his power unto salvation. He says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're not just to be hearers of the word, but we're also to be doers of the word. And in that is where the challenge is going to be. Amen? Because the word of God is going to stretch you. The word of God is going to stretch you in your prayer life. The word of God is going to stretch you in your church life. The word of God is going to stretch you in your finances, in your health, going to stretch you in your family life. All of this plays into you fulfilling the call of God on your life. I believe there's some, I'm so thankful for where I'm at. I'm so thankful. I know we're not the only ministry on planet Earth, but I'm so thankful I'm called to Grace Ministries. I'm thankful for, how's Pastor Phillips say? You're going to be glad that you stayed with it and who you stayed with. Because I'm here to tell you that there's ministries out there, and it's like this thing called their call is a whole separate entity. And how they live the rest of their life doesn't seem to make a difference to the call on their life. But your life is your call. God is using your life. And so when it comes to the word of God, we let that word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He says to tithe, we tithe. He says to sow, we sow. He says to do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. He says to pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost. He says to pray with understanding. We pray with understanding. He says to make intercession. We make intercession. We develop the fruit of the Spirit, and that we could go for days making a list on the things that God says. Amen. But he also speaks to us in a still small voice. You're not going to be guaranteed to hear an audible voice of God. None of us are promised. I heard the audible voice of God one time, and I care not to hear it ever again because I was in trouble. I was mad. I was going off on God on something that happened. And I mean, he just came in and I mean, he let me have it. And I was like, whoa, all right, we'll go for the still small voice here, please. But you got that still small voice. And listen to me, when you hear from God, write it down. When you've heard the voice of God, you have as much obligation to obey the voice of God that you heard in that still small voice as you do the word of God. See, the word of God tells me to sow, but the still small voice will tell me how much to sow. And just as much as I need to let that word have lordship over my life in sowing, I need the still small voice to have lordship over my life in how much I sow. Are you hearing me? When God is directing you in ministry, directing you in the things of your life on what to do or what not to do, let that still small voice have lordship over your life. You see, I think Pastor Lee was the one that addressed this. There's things that he'll tell you that he won't tell me that's not in his word. Now, I won't disagree with his word. For example, Pastor Philip can't drink coffee. For him to drink coffee would be a sin. The still small voice told him not to drink coffee. Well, I can drink coffee just fine. Amen. Hallelujah. There'll be things that the Lord will tell me to do that he won't tell you to do. And so you want that lordship of the still small voice. And then you want the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen? Are you with me? Glory to God. See, this word Lord. Lord means supremacy. Supreme in authority. Controller. Amen? And we make a choice to make him Lord. Now, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, me making Jesus my Savior and making him my Lord didn't happen at the same time. I got born again and he became my Savior, but he was not my Lord in the beginning. I got saved on my way to heaven, but I was doing my own thing. And I began to hear about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And realized I had never made him Lord, and at that time made him Lord over my life. And when he became Lord, then the word became final authority. I don't care what anyone else is saying. I don't care what's popular. I don't care what it feels like, what it sounds like, what it looks like. If that's what the word says, that's what we're saying, that's what we're doing, that's the direction that we're going. And then you come to that place where you have that you have that much conviction towards that still small voice. That if he has spoken to you, then you can't do anything else. It amazes me how many people serve a schizophrenic God. I don't get it. They'll tell me last week that God called them to this job and they're saying hallelujah. And the next week they got a new job. Someone's confused, but it's not God. Or, you know, God, I found my pastor. You're my pastor. I have waited all my life for you to be my pastor. And now some pastor that is halfway around the world that they never have contact with is now their pastor. How convenient is that, right? We maybe will talk about that more when we get to the voice of the pastor. Hallelujah. And so there's that place where when you hear that still small voice, you write it down. You know, there's things in the church that the Lord has told me to do and not do. And folks will come and say, well, why don't we do it this way? And I'll say, that way is a great idea, but that's not the way God told me to do it. I can't change that. You know, the Lord showed us our property back in 1998, I believe is when it was, and it's 2114 Peniel Road. Peniel means face to face with God. I knew that God has said that was our property. And I think it was sold twice since the Lord had told me that. Now, there would be every natural reason to say, well, that must not be it. Maybe I should look on. Even well-meaning people who love me had come and say, what about this? How's this look to you? You know, this would make a good church, wanting to help. And it was a great idea. There's only one problem. That's not what God had said. What has God said? You got to stay with what God has said. And right where you're at, you got to learn that still small voice if you're going to know that still small voice when you get on to other things. Amen. And you got to learn to be obedient to. Now, see, the other sad thing is I've tried to talk to some of these folks who said God has told them to do something one time and then told them to do something different the next time. And you try to tell them, wait, God's not confused. He either said this or he didn't say this. And they want to give you some spiritual answer for it. And when they do that, they're never really going to know the voice of God. It's not until you can admit, nah, I missed it on that. And now I'm hearing I've missed it more than once, more than twice, more than three times. But my willingness to admit that I missed it and repent made my ears sensitive to the voice of God so I can hear his voice accurately. Because now I can discern, well, that's when it wasn't, but this is where it is. And so you want to practice and be submitted to the still small voice of God. And you want that leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Say, lead me, Holy Spirit. He says, those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You know, it's the Holy Spirit who shows us things to come. The Holy Spirit is the revealer. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But he'll reveal it to us by his Holy Spirit. Amen. There are things you've not seen yet, that you don't know yet, that hasn't even entered into your heart yet. But you got a friend, the revealer, the Holy Spirit, that if you will learn to stay submitted to him and yield it to him, to turn easily in the palm of his hand, he can take you right into these things and reveal them to you. Amen? Say, show me, Holy Spirit. And then that other voice. And that other voice is the pastor. And the reason that I save that one for last is because the voice of the pastor is going to support those other voices. The voice of the pastor is going to line up with the word of God. The voice of the pastor is going to carry the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me, child of God? You want that voice of the pastor. He said in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, that he gives us pastors after our heart that feeds us with knowledge and with truth. I'm so thankful for the voice of my pastor. See, there was a time I was highly offended when we came under persecution. And I let offense in. And I couldn't hear. All I was hearing is pack up and move to Florida. And my husband was hearing the same thing, and it was not the voice of God. And we were ready to go. Sound like a good idea to us. We knew, you know, an okay church down there. We'll go to church, be good Christians, but let's go. But then the voice of the pastor came in. And the voice of the pastor said, don't do that. Do this. And we listened to that voice, and it saved our call. Are you hearing me? See, the voice of the pastor, when you get offended, or if you get off track, or you get overwhelmed emotionally, you think you're hearing from God. But no, the filter that you're putting in place will be the filter of those emotions, the filter of that offense, that filter of that battle that you're going through. And the pastor who has oversight of your life, who can see into your life, can keep you on track. The voice of the pastor has saved my marriage. I don't know that I ever said to him I wanted to leave Bill, but he knew what I was thinking. Without saying a word, he just started talking about the kindness of Bill and the lovingness of Bill and giving me wisdom where my marriage is concerned. Saved my marriage. Because he is willing to not compromise in what he says. When I was facing financial battles, it kept me tithing and kept me giving when everything was screaming and said I couldn't. The voice of the pastor. And so no matter how big we get in ministry, how far we move out in the gifts, you always need that guiding voice of the pastor. Amen? Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. You know, and I'm sure you realize this, isn't it amazing that so often the voice of God sounds like your pastor? I mean, I'll be in my, just praying all by myself, hearing the voice of God, but it sounds so much like Pastor Callahan. I can remember one time coming into service. Bill and I were fussing. The kids were fussing. I think we argued in the van all the way to church. And then Pastor preached a message that just totally dealt with that. I said, where's the microphone in my van? You know what I'm talking about, right? Thank God for the voice of the pastor. Say, thank you, Jesus, for my pastor. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is what? Unprofitable. Oh, my goodness. In the church world out there, say out there. They really have a hard time with obeying them that have the rule over them, right? Your pastor is looking out for your soul. Your pastor is looking out for your destiny. See, we can't fulfill our call without our pastor. I already quoted Jeremiah 3:15, and it says he's given us pastors after his heart that will feed us with knowledge and truth. Now, if my call is in God's heart, and it is, then, and he gave me a pastor after his heart, then my call is going to be found in his heart. And whoever your pastor's is, the same. Amen. And that pastor holds the knowledge and the truth that is going to get you into your calling, into your destiny. Amen? And so what you do is you obey that voice of the pastor in your life. And so we've got the Word, the still small voice, the Holy Spirit, and the pastor. This is how the voice of God will present itself to you. You have to realize who you belong to. It's Jesus. You've given him complete lordship over his law, over your life. And therefore, there's the submission to the voice of God and how he has chose to bring his voice into your life. Amen? So you know who you belong to. Say, I know who I belong to. And you also got to know what your ultimate purpose is. Say, ultimate purpose. See, he told us over here in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to know what your ultimate purpose is, you got to understand the ultimate purpose is the glory. I'll change whatever you want me to preach, Pastor. That's okay. He already told me he had to leave halfway through. And so the ultimate, let me just say it this way. The ultimate purpose of God for your life is his glory. Whatever he's called you to, whether it's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher, whether it's running a business, whether it's in the political government arena, whether it's in education or the medical field, a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is that he has called you to do, its purpose will serve in manifesting the glory of God. And the glory of God is the sum total of all who God is and all who God has. And God has chosen you for such a time as this. He has chosen you unto himself to manifest his glory in the earth. So whatever your calling is, it pertains to the glory. So you got to understand that calling is a precious calling. It is something that's been ordained for you before the foundations of the earth was ever laid. And a very high price was paid for you and that calling of God on your life. And you got to prize that calling. Realize how precious that calling is. And understand that the very purpose of the calling of God on your life is to manifest the glory of God. He says, as surely as he lives, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Now, it's not just some magic fairy dust that blows out of heaven. He's called you and I into the kingdom for such a time as this in order to manifest the glory. Amen? Say, to manifest the glory. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 24, well, let's start with verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Say, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Understand here, in putting on the new man, that's putting on the divine nature. It's putting on the fruit of the spirit. It's putting on your calling. It's putting on the authority of God. And the list could go on and on. It is putting on the sum total of who God is and what he has. And he says the way that we do that is we renew our mind. We cannot go into our callings without renewing the spirit of our mind. Every one of us, when we came into the kingdom of God, when we were born again, we brought junk with us. I understand when you were born again, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but then you got that thing called the mind, the will, and the emotions that had been filled up and trained by the world and whatever life experiences that you've gone through. And what is in there, you cannot take into your calling. If you experienced hurt and rejection or abuse and your life before Christ, you can't carry that into your calling. Hurt people hurt people. See, I carried a spirit of rejection. Oh my gosh. It was awful. Everyone else was glad when I got free from that. So I was always needing reassurance that people loved me. I always needed reassurance that they still like me. And then I'd have to start all over again because I thought they were mad at me. Oh my goodness, how could I go and pastor? Because I got people mad at me all the time. For real. But I know I'm accepted, Pastor Lee. But I know I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. But when you're operating under spirit of rejection, and never mind all of what I just said, when you're operating in a spirit of rejection and someone, and you feel like someone's rejecting you, it is impossible for you to reach out to them in love and minister the anointing of God to them. So you got to take care of that. Are you hearing me? We've come into the kingdom of God with wrong doctrines, with wrong thinking. You know, I was sexually abused before I as a young girl. And because I was sexually abused, I didn't even know this was there. I had created this wall between me and other men at a certain age. The talk was just going to be real surface, real shallow, real short. And I just would find a way to walk away from them. Well, how am I going to pastor with a wall like that there? Are you hearing me? And so we have to on purpose, say on purpose. We have to on purpose take the word of God and renew the spirit of our mind in preparation for the calls on our life. It's so funny, you know, and you've seen it. The ones that'll come in and they heard that God called them and they want to preach and they want to minister, but you're not seeing them take the time to sit down to pay the price that is involved in getting their mind renewed. You gotta get that thinking change. Got to get those emotions under control. You got to get that will submitted. And so that takes time. Are you hearing me? And so that we put on the new man through the renewing of the spirit of our mind. Say, we're putting it on. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I want to read this how Murdoch says it, just a little bit different. It says, for we are his creation, who are created in Jesus the Messiah for good works, which God hath prepared for us to walk in. Taking those paths already prepared for us. Understand, in fulfilling the ultimate purpose of God, God's got a purpose day to day for you. A lot of folks want to skip some years before they get to their final destination. And you find yourself in the will of God on a day to day basis. You know, Lord told me this years ago. He says, Sherry, he says, if you will find my will each day, you'll come at the end of your life and stand before me, and I will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you will find that you have fulfilled the total will of God. But some folks think that they can disobey God today and maybe disobey him the next couple days, but they'll pick it back up next week. Now, I understand there's forgiveness. I understand there's restoration. But, you know, most times we are our own fault to the delay that happens in our lives. That when we just make the decision, all right, God has laid paths before me before the foundation of the earth was ever made. There's one path he's laid. There's none of us have a multiple path. There's one path laid out for you. Just one. And you just got to find out what that one path is and stay on it. Because that's where the blessing is commanded. It's not anywhere else. That goes back to hearing the voice of God accurately. Submit it to the word. Submit it to the still small voice. Learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, and submit it to the pastor. And that will keep you on the path that God has made. And you know, today's path, that may not look real exciting to you. But as far as God is concerned, it's very exciting because it's the path he designed for you this day. So if it's marked by God, there can't be anything else that could hold any more excitement than that can. And so you just stay on that path day to day. Because it's been predestined by God. And as you're staying on that path, remember what your call is. And remember what your ultimate purpose is. Prize it. It's your treasure. It's why you're here. It's what you're called to. And you got to make a decision. I am going to be steadfast and immovable. This is where God wants me today, doing this, saying this. I'm going to stay right here because this is a step into my call and into fulfilling the ultimate purpose of God. Staying in the will of God. Amen? Say, I'm going to stay on my path. Someone else's path may look real exciting, but it's not as exciting for you as your path is for you. See, God don't do things dull. He doesn't do things little. He doesn't do things small. Whatever he's called you to, stay faithful to it. Stay faithful to where he has you today, because I promise you the outcome is going to be greatness beyond all that you could ever imagine. Because God is so great. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, you got to know what your ultimate purpose is. Look with me at Romans chapter 8. And verse 28, it says, and we know that all things, say all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, it's so funny. Not you. I'm preaching to the choir right now. But it's amazing how people can just kind of haphazardly go through life and then try to apply this scripture. Well, oh well, you know, all things work together for the good to those who love them. And I love my Jesus. So it's all going to work out. It's all going to be all right. I can remember we were still at First Assembly and, I had a divine appointment. It's just one of the very first times, Pastor Lee, that I witnessed to somebody. I was so excited. And, so it was this man. And I told him about Jesus. And I mean, it just took all my faith at that time. It seemed to just get up there and be willing to talk to this person. And they told me that they loved Jesus. I was so excited. They already loved Jesus. And I was in service the next day and I said, Pastor, I said, I got to witness to somebody. And you know what they told me? They told me they loved Jesus. He said, are they in church? And I said, no, but they love Jesus. He says, well, my Bible tells me that those that love him obey his commands. And the Bible tells them to be in church. I'm like, oh, okay. There was a revelation for me. Yeah, all things work together for the good to those who love him. And the ones that love him obey what he has told them to do. Amen. So, and you're hearing a lot today about what God has told us to do, right? Now, let's get back over here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose, say, I'm called. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And that's that plan that he's already planned out. All that path that is set out before you, all your resources are on that path. Don't try to go another route to get them, because they're not there. What has God told you to do? What has he said to you? If it's Sunday morning, if it's Sunday night, he told you to be in church. So the resources for that day is right there in services. Amen. What did he tell you to do on Monday? What did he tell you to do on Tuesday? All those resources are right there. You can't find them anyplace else. It's not anywhere else. And so you stay right where he's told you to stay, when he's told you to be there, doing what he's told you to do. You know, Lord told us to redo the platform at the church. And he told me to tear it down. Now we're talking about a tri-level platform. And I love tearing things down. So I got my hammers and I got my crowbars and I went to town, baby, and I just ripped that thing apart. Well, see, that's where I'm the senior pastor. And that's where I was called. Right there. That's where my resources were. Now I started to get a little bit out of it because I was going to start to try to rebuild it. And then Pastor Darren heard the call of God. And he looked at what I was doing, and he said, Pastor, can I help you rebuild that? I said, you can rebuild the whole thing if you want. And he did. Amen. That's where he was called at that time. Amen. And is it you just right where he's told you to be? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. That is your path into your destiny. And it's only leading one way, to the fulfillment of the call of God on your life. And so he says, who he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, here was what I wanted to get to, the ultimate purpose. He also glorified. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, and go ahead and turn there. Just got to go back a little bit here. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This isn't a part of it, but let me go ahead and deal with the suffering thing. He's not talking about suffering sickness. He's not talking about suffering lack. But to get that noggin renewed, sometimes that, when I was dealing with that spirit of rejection, getting that out of the spirit of my mind, that, for me, that was hard. But I keep saying, going back to this, oh, but the glory that's going to be revealed out of me. Let me just add this. Because so often when we talk about renewing the spirit of the mind, we just talk about getting the negative out of there. See, the abuses and experiences, the divorce, all that stuff, that was what was at the bottom of the well in the spirit of my mind. And my reactions outwardly was from what was down in there. So I needed to go down into that well with the word of God and get it out of there. And then it was going to take care of the reactions. So often people just deal with the reactions and they don't ever get to what's caused it. Reactions. Well, if bad stuff can get down in the spirit of your mind, then good stuff can get down in the spirit of your mind. And so you don't just take the junk out. You get in there, get it so far down in your spirit that your outward reaction is going to come from what you've taken time to put down in the spirit. Amen? The spirit of the mind. Not just the renewal of your mind, but down into the spirit of your mind. Amen? Now, where was I going? I was heading in another direction with that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, it may be, you don't feel like getting in the word. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like coming to church. You know, someone may be upset you. You may not like something the pastor said. Well, we walk by faith, not by how we feel. And you just make the determination you're going to do what God has told you to do no matter what. And I guess perhaps in that you might feel like you're suffering. And you know what I found out? And you've heard it all day already. I have found that when I'm going to follow the will of God, that there are things that I thought I liked to do, that I thought that I wanted to do, that weren't even bad things. But if I was going to do what God told me to do, I was going to have to say no to that. And there was seemingly some suffering and letting go of that. But the scripture doesn't stop there. It says you can't compare any of that to the glory that's going to be revealed. And where's that glory? Where's that verse say the glory is? It's in you. It's in you. Now see, I'm all for glory clouds. I'm looking for glory clouds. I'm looking for that. But you got to understand, you're the vessel of glory. Like I said, no pixie dust is falling from heaven. You are the vessel of glory, and your ultimate purpose is to manifest the glory of God. And you cannot manifest the glory outside of the path of God that He has placed before you. Oh, hallelujah. Say, I'm on my way to glory. You're on your way to glory. Hallelujah. You're on your way to glory. Ooh, just keep following the yellow brick road. Hallelujah. We're on our way to glory. Woo. Praise God. So you know whose you are, and you allow Him to be Lord over your life. You understand your ultimate purpose, and then how do you get there? And He said here, back over in 2 Thessalonians, it's through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of truth. Sanctification means a consecration, the sanctification of one's heart and one's life. In other words, it's a separation. You allow the Holy Spirit and you allow the Word of God to separate you unto God and separate you unto the call of God for your life. The Holy Spirit's going to direct you into a life that's separated unto God and unto His Word. In order to have that separated life, it's going to involve discipleship. Say discipleship. Discipleship comes down to discipline. Say discipline. It's discipline in the Word, discipline in prayer, discipline in fasting, and discipline in the church. Amen? You have that word time established in your life, and you protect it. I got a gal in my church, and I'm so proud of her. She's been just planting the Word of God underground for a little bit of time now, and her life is just coming out on top now, blossoming. And it's just, and she's going through a lot of transitions, and it's so much fun to watch her. And she is a sweetheart. But she'll call me, and I told her to call me. I want her to call me. But what she doesn't know is I'm usually not available till 12 o'clock. And so she'll call me and she'll say, Pastor, you call me? And I will about 12 because I have my word time and my prayer time. It's protected because I'm no good to anybody unless I have that discipline in the word and in prayer. And the other day she says, she said something. It was insignificant, but I said, it was okay. You're okay. You didn't do anything wrong calling me at all. And I promise you, I will always call you back. But I said, Pastor's usually, you know, I've got my 3 hours in prayer and 3 hours in the word. And then I'll meet with you. Amen. And you got to be that way. You got to protect your time in the word. You got to have that. And I said 3 hours. That doesn't mean it'll be 3 hours for you. All right. That's where you listen to the still small voice. Amen. Now, the next thing I'm about to say is Pastor Sherry. Say it's my opinion. Say she's about to give me her opinion. Do you know what it means when it's my opinion? That means God didn't necessarily say it. But I'll hear teaching, and if your pastor has said this, then your pastor's right. Because your pastor's first voice, I ain't your pastor. I'm Pastor Darren, I'm Pastor Tammy's pastor, I'm Trevor's pastor. Amen? But y'all got to listen to your pastor. But, you know, the word does say, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And so for me, I believe an hour is minimum in prayer. Now, whatever the Lord and your pastor has said you is what you listen to. Amen? Amen. Is that all right? Uh-huh. Okay. But you gotta be that disciplined in your word time and your prayer time. Disciplined in fasting, led by the Spirit, but just as the Lord's leading you in fasting. Amen. And disciplined in church. Stay plugged into your church. I don't really need to spend much time on this because there's already been good teaching on it today, but plugged into your church doesn't mean you just show up and warm the pew. That means you get plugged in. Fellowship with the believers, getting involved in the church. How can I help this church fulfill its vision? Because you know what? Whatever the vision of the church is, it's your vision. Your call is not your own little thing for your own little world by yourself. Your call is connected to the vision that God has called you to. And so you find out where you can plug into that church. You talk to your pastor and find out where you can plug into that church and stay faithful to it. Stay disciplined in it. Amen. This is all a part of the sanctification. It's a part of the separation. And he says that they're sanctified by the Spirit and by the belief of the truth. Say belief of the truth. Now we understand according to John 17 that the truth is the word of God, but it's not just the word that we know. It's the word that we believe. We believe it. There's got to be faith development before we can go into our call. First of all, it's going to take faith for you to fulfill your call. Amen. But we got to know how to walk by faith. We got to get some manifestation in our life before we can get into our call, because we cannot lead people to where we've not gone. You know, I'll watch people, and I mean, they're already looking for a platform, and they ain't got a place to live yet. They're still, they don't have a job. They don't know how to make their next bill. No, listen to me. I'm not talking about having arrived. I'm talking about you got to have some manifestation. You got to have faith working in your life. Because you're called to be a leader. Say a leader. Some of y'all looking at me like you're mad at me, but I don't believe that. You got a leader. So you got to be at least a little bit in front of them before you can lead them. Amen. Say food. You ain't going to make me sleepy today. And so you got to know how to walk by faith. You got to develop that faith. You got to get some manifestation. You cannot lead people where you've not gone. We're called to teach them how to live by faith. And we can't teach them what we don't know. Now, I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about we know. See, when we believe something, it changes the way we talk. When we believe something, it changes the way we act. So we're talking about that we're developing our faith in healing. We're developing our faith in finances. We're developing our faith where the family's concerned. We're developing our faith where ministry is concerned. We're developing our faith, amen, to the point of seeing manifestation so that we can say we know how to walk by faith, and I can now take somebody there. Amen. Doesn't the word say to follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises? Amen. And you are called as leaders. See, I'm called to lead. You are called to lead people into the sum total of what God is and what God has. So know who you belong to. Know what your ultimate purpose is. And know how to get there by being sanctified by the Spirit and by the belief in the truth. Pastor Jack.